It's a Friday tradition on his time at a worldwide KFUO. It's time for the Creation Club, and joining us on the phone this morning, Pastor Warren Wirth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Arnold, Missouri. Good morning, Pastor Wirth.
Good morning, Buzz.
What have we going on in the world with creation in mind on this Friday?
Well, you know, everybody loves every day when you have a national this day or a national that day. The calendar is full of them. In fact, there's more than 1,000 national days of some sort or another. For example, on October 11th, it was National Sausage Pizza Day.
I knew that, and I actually bought a sausage pizza because of that.
October 12th was National Fossil Day. October 13th was National Yorkshire Pudding Day. Today is National Dessert Day. Oh, that would be one of my favorites, so we always have to have dessert, right?
Yeah.
And tomorrow, October 15th, is National I Love Lucy Day, commemorating the wonderful program that ran for many years. It started back in October 15th, 1951, I Love Lucy, So I'm old enough to remember I Love Lucy. I don't know whether you've seen it in anything other than reruns, but I'm old enough to remember I Love Lucy.
I saw it in the reruns plenty, though. Yeah.
Indeed. Well, the tie-in with creation is that on the website for Answers in Genesis, they and the Creation Museum, they have a tie-in that says, "Why do we love Lucy?" Pointing out that October 15th is National I Love Lucy Day, celebrating the 1951 debut of the beloved television show I Love Lucy. While Lucy remains a popular television character today, we have our own Lucy here at the Creation Museum that we love. Lucy is the famous fossil of an alleged human ancestor. It's often the center of debate between evolutionary scientists and creation scientists about human origins. The Lucy exhibit in our Starting Points room looks at these differing worldviews and conclusions. Here are three lessons that Lucy teaches us in addition to how you can learn more about this topic at the Creation Museum. So they begin by pointing out that it's the Word of God that gives us our starting point when we want to consider the origin of the universe and certainly the origin of human life. We go back to Genesis and see that God created man in his own image. He created Adam from the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he took from Adam his rib and made the woman and gave her to the man, and the two became one flesh. Man and woman created in the image of God, as God himself says. Now, of course, people who begin with an evolutionary standpoint, you leave God out of it entirely. You assume that somehow life arose from non-living material, and somehow simple life gradually evolved over millions and billions of years by random mutations acted upon by natural selection. So you got all the variety and complexity of life that we see today, including human beings as well as apes. But along the way, they suppose that there were many creatures that were transitional, half man, half ape, and hence Lucy is one of their alleged missing links. And so this fossil of Lucy was actually found in 1974 by a man by the name of Donald Johansson. He gave the fossil this name because in his campsite, when he discovered this partial skeleton in Ethiopia, Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds, the Beatles song, yeah, was playing in his camp. And so he named this fossil Lucy, and it, of course, has taken on a life of its own because, again, the people who believe in evolution desperately need missing links, and so even fossils that are not truly missing links, they trump up and hype up to be supposed missing links. And so perhaps you had seen at the St. Louis Zoo a few years ago at their Living World exhibit, they had an artist's conception of what Lucy may have looked like. And there are still museums that have this. There's one in Chicago that has this. The artist's representation has Lucy standing fully upright with a human-like gaze and human-like hands and feet, but very hairy, more like a gorilla in terms of the outer hair covering, but made to look like a part man, part ape. That's very, very, very misleading and does not really comport with what the actual fossil record would show. Back in the late 1990s, Dr. David Menton took the St. Louis Zoo to task in a letter to them, pointing out that it was absolutely misleading to show Lucy this way, especially he was focusing on Lucy's feet, because there are other Australopithecine fossils, that is, Australopithecus afarensis, that's what Lucy actually is, the scientific name, which means southern ape. So even the scientific classification shows it's an ape, not a human, or even a half-human. But be not dismayed. They want to continue to purport that you have a half-human, half-ape creature here. And the other Australopithecine fossils that have been found show that the hands and the feet are that of a tree-dwelling ape, with long curved fingers and toes. And even though Lucy does not have all those pieces, they don't have the hands or the feet, there's not nearly a complete skeleton there, still other fossils of the same species show that it was an ape that dwelt in trees, not walking on land. But the story that the evolutionists want to push here is that Lucy was transitional from tree-dwelling apes to upright bipedal apes, and so the story goes, and they're very desperate to do that. So the pictures and artist representations often show her fully upright with human-like feet, even though that's clearly not the case from the fossil record.
So in other words, they're giving us a depiction that doesn't even match what the evidence shows.
Exactly so. And there are a number of great things on the Answers in Genesis website that can answer your questions and those of your children and grandchildren on this very topic. One is, there's a presentation by Dr. David Menton, and you can actually buy the DVD. It's called Three Ways to Make an Ape Man. It's an excellent DVD, and I highly recommend people see it. A little segment from that is shown on their website right now, where Dr. Menton has three skulls in a row. One is of an adult male ape, an orangutan, and then he's got a human skull, and then he's got a skull from Australopithecus afarensis, namely like Lucy. And now Lucy didn't have her complete skull, so this is from another specimen. And he shows you how you can tell the difference. And he points out that with the ape skull, one of the things that you know, it has a sloped forehead, and he points out relative to the cheekbone, it's very much sloped, where with people, it's very much more perpendicular to the cheekbone. He points out that the ape does not have a prominent nose, it's flat, and there's not a sticking out nose bone. Human skulls have a prominent nose bone that sticks out from the face. He points out that across the forehead, it's flat on an ape. With people, it's curved, so that the eye sockets of the ape, you can't see the orbits from the side, but with a human, because the shape of the top of our face and the front part of our skull, our forehead, is curved, you can see the orbits from the side. And he points out a number of things like that, as well as the cranial capacity. So the cranial capacity of the ape is like maybe 300 to 500 cc's, where with a person it's over 1,000 cc's, 1,000 to 1,500 cc's. And so he says there's a lot of differences that are obvious, and it doesn't take a genius to see this is an ape, this is a human skull. Then he looks at the skull of the Lucy, the Australopithecus afarensis, and it's clearly demonstrating the ape features, not human features. It's got a very sloped front, no prominent nasal bone. It does have the flat forehead. It has a small cranial capacity, and, you know, he shows feature after feature. And he said, well, you know, why would anybody ever want to say this is part human? It's clearly an ape. And likewise, when you know the rest of the story, the rest of the features of the fossils of the Australopithecines, they had long, curving fingers and toes and opposable toes. They have the hip bone, hip structure of the apes, like an orangutan, not human. They have the shoulder of apes, not humans, and he goes feature by feature by feature, and so it's a slam dunk. It's clearly a tree-dwelling ape, now extinct, but similar to gorillas, chimpanzees, and orangutans, and not at all like a human or transitioning into being a human, but it's still a wonderful story that they like to tell, and they don't want to let go of their fairy tales very easily. Another story that you can check out, another article you can check out in Answers in Genesis, is one recently put forth. It was October 13th of this year. Dr. Elizabeth Mitchell wrote the article. It's called "Did Lucy Fall to Her Death Because She Climbed Our Family Tree?" And this is responding to an article that came out a number of weeks ago on the work of paleoanthropologist. I got the wrong page there. Excuse me. A man by the name of Koppelman. Let me find it. Here we go. University of Texas at Austin anthropologist John Koppelman and his colleagues examined Lucy's remains by using CT scans of her bones in an effort to determine how she died. And studying the patterns of fractures in her bones, he hypothesized that she fell from a tall tree, perhaps 4 to 5 stories high, and part of the story is she wouldn't have fallen if she hadn't evolved to have features that were more human-like, so she lost some of her tree-climbing ability, and that's why she fell to her death as she did. So they examined the pattern of arm and shoulder breakages and thought it looked like what a person does when they fall from a height and they try to break their fall with their arms. And so for some people, that's very convincing. Oh, what do you know? Lucy, because she was evolving to be more like a person instead of like an ape, she wasn't able to climb the tree as successfully, fell from the tree to her death. Oh, poor Lucy. Well, not all scientists are convinced of this, even ones who do believe the molecules to man evolution fairy tale. Paleoanthropologist John Hawks of the University of Wisconsin-Madison comments that Koppelman's team should have compared Lucy's fractures to those in fossils that could not have fallen from great heights. By default, such fossils would have mostly been broken during the processes of burial and fossilization. Hawks says if they examined a large collection of faunal fossils from the same context, they would find similar patterns, not from falling out of a tree, but from simple post-depositional breakage. And so the person goes on to point out that the authors make no effort to test the alternative hypothesis that these cracks and other breaks were made during the processes of fossilization and erosion. In fact, the authors appear to have focused only on the cracks that they could attribute to an imagined fall, ignoring the additional abundant cracks on Lucy and other fossils. They said it's very unlikely that the creature fell out of a tree. Elephant bones and hippo ribs also appear to have the same kind of breakage, he says. It's unlikely that they fell out of a tree. Johansson believes the fractures are undoubtedly the result of geological forces acting on the bones after they are buried during the process of fossilization. But the people in the story that got a lot of publicity recently about Lucy falling out of the tree, they framed their hypothesis as a just-so story and only examine evidence consistent with it instead of looking for contrary evidence, which is not exactly good science. What do we learn from this? You know, well, we see that just as with the Piltdown Man hoax that took place in the early 1900s in England, scientists so want to believe that their evolution story is true that they grasp at something that turns out not even to be good science, but that is the key to their belief that there have to be missing links. And the Piltdown Man one was a complete hoax. This Lucy one though not a complete hoax, is certainly misinterpreted and is hyped up in a way that is like a hoax. It is not dealing with truth in either how they interpret it or how they tell the story, especially in museums, textbooks, documentaries on television and stuff, to convince the public that the molecules to man story is true, that people did evolve from ape-like ancestors, and so you don't need to believe in God. That's a bunch of baloney.
But in this particular point, though, here's one thing that I don't even know why they don't bother to put this in here. Even if they're scientists purporting something like this, there could be another ape involved in a fight, and that's why Lucy fell.
Or she could fall off a cliff.
Yeah.
You know, or maybe she fell out of an airplane or something. Who knows? It's astonishing. Yeah, they didn't look at all the possibilities there, but they have a preconceived idea of what should be there, and so they have to try to tell the story in such a way that it persuades people that they have come up with a solution, even though even other scientists have pointed out this is not the best way to do their scientific research. Dr. Mitchell's article, which I recommend to you again, "Did Lucy Fall to Her Death Because She Climbed Our Family Tree?" concludes this way. "An ape we now call Lucy may have fallen to her death a few thousand years ago, certainly not the 3.18 million years ago, as evolutionists currently claim. Her fatal fall is as tragic as the violent death of any animal that has died since Adam's fall into sin about 6,000 years ago, and that brought death into the world. However, Lucy's demise does not represent either the death of our long-lost relative or the cost of bipedal evolution." And so that's the conclusion of her article. She points out that nothing in experimental science demonstrates that humans did or could evolve from ape-like ancestors. God created both land animals and the first two humans on the same day about 6,000 years ago, sixth day of creation, according to Genesis chapter 1. Nothing in observable science contradicts that truth, which we learn from Genesis, a record of God's own eyewitness account of our origins. And Answers in Genesis usually is pretty good about leading us back to the Bible and especially to the connection with the gospel. You know, the Word of God tells us who created us, what went wrong when Adam and Eve, our first ancestors, fell into sin, and then that God promised and in the fullness of time sent Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be our Savior. He lived a perfect life for us. He suffered and died on the cross in our place. He rose again on the third day so that we could have forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation. This is not a hoax at all. This is God's truth. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so when we talk about creation versus evolution on these Friday mornings, the point is always to get people back to the Bible and to realize you can trust God's word from Genesis 1:1 all the way through, and it's one account, God's account of how he created us and how he's redeemed us in Jesus Christ and how he has promised to restore fallen creation when Christ comes again on the last day. He raises up our dead bodies so that they don't have any fractures, and they will be perfectly restored as God intended in paradise, and in creation restored, we will live it and reign with our Savior Jesus Christ forever and ever. And that is no hoax. That is God's saving truth in Christ Jesus.
We can swirl back to tomorrow being I Love Lucy Day and still work a little bit of Genesis in here. Because after eating some fruit from the garden and seeing his naked state, Adam looked at Eve and said, "Woman, you have some splaining to do." I think the father did as well, but
very good.
Yeah, so you can get humor and Genesis in here at the same time sometimes, can't you?
I love to laugh. So we'll have National Laugh Day too.
Yeah, that would be good too. Well, thanks for joining us again for another wonderful Creation Club this morning, Pastor Worth. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church is at
2211 Tenbrook Road in Arnold, Missouri. And our worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We invite those who are in the area to join us as we celebrate God's gifts through word and sacrament.
Terrific. We'll talk to you again next week.
God bless.
God bless. Pastor Warren Worth from Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri, wrapping up the Creation Club on his time on Worldwide KFUO.